Welcome to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. Each week brings a new message that looks to invite you into a new life brought by Jesus Christ. We hope you are inspired and changed by God by the message brought by today's speaker.
Church that I want to speak to you about this morning is one that is part of the New Testament church, and it is a testimony of God moving in the early days of the New Testament church in the Church of Acts. It is a Gentile expansion, and it became quite a testimony. This church is one that Paul wrote one of his epistles to. It is also the last church that he addressed before he went to Rome, in that he didn't go to the church itself, but he addressed and talked with the leaders of this particular New Testament church. He would go on to write epistles while he was in Rome, because in Rome he went there. He had accusations. He was imprisoned, and then later he would become martyred. And the Apostle Paul wrote prison ministry to the people around him, I'm sure, but he also wrote what we call the prison epistles. Can we fathom and can we actually get an idea of that? While there in prison, knowing he was going to be martyred at some point in time, he was burdened for the churches that he had labored in. He spent time in, he had his heart weighed down for, and he poured out his life for, and was determined to write the churches for their edification, for their discipleship, for their maturing into the life of the Holy Spirit. Can we begin to rub hearts with him? Can we see his desperation? Can we see his urgency of soul? That even while being associated with a prisoner and a criminal, and probably seen as one of the worst by the culture, and who knows what others within the collection of people who attended church saw him as. Let me pause there. If people get accused of things, please don't believe it just because it's said, but still love them anyway. Can we understand the magnitude of our own lesson in this? Are we so dedicated, so consumed, so committed to Jesus that we cannot help but live Jesus in front of people, even in the tough times, like David did this morning? Believe me, I didn't know it was going to happen. The prison epistle, as they were known, are and were letters to some of these churches that Paul ministered to. Paul wrote over a period of about 15 years in 60 AD, roughly. He was imprisoned for about 2 years under house arrest, according to Acts 28, verses 30 and 31. The turmoil of the soul being in prison, even in that situation, had to have been difficult. I have worked in a max, ultramax penitentiary as a nurse. Believe me, it is not a fun place to work, and it is a less fun place to be. I'm not going to go into the horror stories. Yet he had to entrust the churches that he had labored for, prayed for, been at, and planted to the leadership of others, hoping and praying that he had done enough training, discipling, and mentoring. Of note, can we not see that as our call, our responsibility, and our mandate to be examples of how we are to make disciples, that make disciples, not just be disciples, but be disciples that make disciples. Even as Paul did, we can be available. We can use our phone, our email, our ability, our home, our interaction to not only be available to them, but to go so that they come to us, but that we go to them. Emotionally, spiritually, and cognitively, when we who are called to be the Great Commission and the Spirit-filled people of Acts 1:8, and we dare to be the Great Commission, and we contact and connect others, let me share with you something that touches people. We don't wait for them to come to us, but after prayer, we just, if they're brought to mind, pray for them and then contact them and just say, how you doing, praying for you. Cannot tell you how many people have come back to me this week and said, you don't know what this means to me this week. I'm not going to go into it, confidential. But I never would have heard that if I had not gone to them. Not only because I'm a pastor, but also because believer. You see, the greatest church plants were not because of Paul and Peter and Barnabas. They were because a layman decided it's time that we have connection here. Phoebe. She was a businesswoman, and yet she led a church. And on and on and on it goes. Before prison, Paul faced this challenge. He spoke lovingly, apologetically, boldly, and unceasingly. He did not give in. Through the empowerment, holy boldness, and holy fulfilling of God for him and for all in the true church, even today, he became the church planter of the New Testament that even today, 2,000 years later, we are still basking under the presence of what he did. Can you get hold of that? 2,000 years later. Do you ever wonder, and I got to be honest with you, I have, and I do. Is God really using me? Does what I do make a difference? Do I matter to God enough to where I'm really making a difference for him? I cannot tell you 2,000 years later after today, people are going to remember your name. But I'm going to tell you this, 2 million years later and beyond in eternity, the people you lead to Jesus and touch for Jesus, it makes a difference. The church I'm going to talk to you today about is the Church of Ephesus. In Ephesus, God moved. In Ephesus, God came down. And in Ephesus, God poured out his Holy Spirit and used the local church to be the mighty church of the expanding church exponentially. And this brings us to our theme, our textual study, and our sermon in a sentence. I'm going to share with you that I am going to step out of the preacher, pastor-preacher role primarily, though I'm preaching, but I wanted to step into, away from, an idea of extemporaneous style and do it more into what's called expositional. We're going to take some passages apart, and we're going to read through them. I'm going to let you read through them, and we're just going to explore what do they have today, and we're going to just look exponentially and across the texts of Scripture and see what they want to tell us, and hopefully that will help us. Our theme today is this: standing firm, standing strong, standing holy in our discipleship. Our text today is going to be Acts 19. We're not going to put it all up there. We'd have 438 slides to do that. But we're going to be looking at the chapter of Acts 19. And our sermon in a sentence is this: true disciple is actively having a holy boldness through the Holy Spirit. A true disciple is actively having a holy boldness through the Holy Spirit. Point one is this. Our first section is Acts 19, 1 through 10, the introduction of the infilling of the Holy Spirit to the church of Ephesus. The power and infilling of the Holy Spirit to those who were already believers, expanding the Gentile church greatly. From that introduction, God again confirmed the Gentile church was real. There are many across the years who have said, how come it is that Acts 10 and Acts 19, this happened, and it's the only places that God did not come down through Paul and give some kind of admonition or things like that and correction. We can explain that biblically. We can explain that hermeneutically. We can explain that historically, and it is supporting of it biblically, and that is this. In the early days of the New Testament church was thought it would be to the Jews and the Jews only. In Acts 10, God came down on the New Testament church with Peter there. Okay, that happened once. Where two or three can agree, then there is the witness. Here it is in Acts 19, again, with Paul. They spoke in what is considered languages. The word there is languages. And it showed that God was still bringing in the Gentile church. And the final statement is this. From God, I am bringing people in who will call me Lord, who will call me Master, who will call me Savior, more than be worried about their background, more than be worried about their economic status, more than be worried about their connection in community, but call me Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to share something with you. We are in a very hurting community. We are in a very hurting town. We are in a very uproarious and hurting county. All the people that do not go to church, a lot of them do not go to church for what they would consider very good reasons. They are not like us in many ways. Their lifestyle is different from us in many ways. Their associations are different from us in almost every way, a lot of times. And yet they still matter to Jesus. Are we talking with them? Are we sharing with them? Are we giving them the good news of the gospel? That is Jesus Christ, that he came to seek and to save all that which was lost. In Acts 19, 1 through 10, God showed us through this passage, God still means what he said in John 3, 17, not just John 3, 16. For God did not come to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. Whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. But it's not just for us that are here today. It's for the world. Do you know somebody that doesn't know Jesus? Do you have family members that don't know Jesus? Do you have friends or associations or people you know that their lifestyle, obviously, they don't know Jesus? Well, they're different. I don't care. They might come in dressed not that great. Let me give you my philosophy on that. At least they're here. At least they're here. Quite frankly, I don't care. I don't mean that flippant. I don't mean that arrogant. I don't mean that mean. But what I do say is this. I mean it. The story is told, and you may remember it well. A man comes in, it's Easter Sunday, and he's not been in church for years, and he comes in to a church, and it's a big church, and they are beginning to have their big Easter cantata, and there's no place for him. He comes in in no shoes, cutoffs, and a t-shirt. He looks around, and no one's there to give him a seat, so he sits right there. There's a hush that fills the church. And the leading deacon, the leading member of the church, gets up, and the story is told where a few of them say, I guess he's going to get it now. Brother so-and-so is going to let him know what's going on. And you may remember in the old way they would have pews that the pastor and his team would be sitting up here, and they were sitting up there. The leading deacon, the leading board member, took off his coat, took off his shoes, took off his tie, took off his shirt, and sat in pants and a t-shirt, and shook his hand, and sat with him on the floor. And the ministry of music changed everything. Why do we change things? Don't we have something planned? But he changed everything. Like David was weeping, that man was pouring. And he started with this, Jesus loves me. This I know. Because my Bible tells me so. Everyone to him can belong. We may be weak, but he is strong. And about that time, over 800 people joined in. Wasn't a small church. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. The man gets up, comes here, and dedicates his life to Jesus. Because an old man gets up, takes off his shoes, his coat, his tie, his shirt, and sits with him. And a minister of music had the audacity to change things. Thank God. They may be different. They may have lifestyles and morals that we do not have. But still, Jesus loves them. This I know, because the Bible tells me so. They were Ephesus people. You know, that town where they worship a god made of silver. They were immoral. They were terrible people. You don't want to go there. That's the bad section of the country. And yet Paul went there. Exemplified by Paul, true disciples are actively having a holy boldness through the Holy Spirit to make disciples for Jesus and to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to go where there's people. Point two is Acts 19, 11 through 16. I told you there's not going to be an A, a B, C. Point two is Acts 19, 11 through 16. When the power happened and the miraculous move happened, look what happened. The seven sons of Sceva. What's extremely important in here is that Sceva was the high priest that year. I don't mean just a priest, the high priest. Let me explain some of that to you. The high priest is chosen. He is the one that represents people into the throne of God, i.e. behind the veil of the temple. He had to be pure. He had to be holy. He had to be right. He had to be upstanding. He had to have nothing against him. And he was the one in the priesthood that went back to the Holy of Holies. He was still doing the Jewish stuff. They would tie a rope around his ankle. They would put a bell on his ankle so that if he suddenly quit dinging, they would pull him out in case he had died. They would pull a little bit, and if he resisted, then, okay, he's still alive, thankfully. He was the high priest, and he had seven kids, seven sons, who their identity was, you don't know who my dad is. Position. Power. Well, it's what I've done. I've had this position in this church, or I've had this position in this situation, and I'm who I am. You just need to understand it's what I've always done. And then they see Paul, this young upstart who betrayed, quote unquote, the Sanhedrin. And he is doing these wonderful miracles, and people are becoming to be delivered from Satan, and a demon is being cast out, and people are hearing the gospel, and they're turning to Jesus. And what do the seven sons of Sceva do? They mimic, but they do not own. They come and fill a role, but they do not have the relationship. What do they say? What do they say? Look in verse 19. I command you in the name of Jesus. I adjure you in the Spirit. I adjure you, evil spirits, by the same Jesus that Paul proclaims. Nothing of their own. Nothing they own. No relationship they have. And what does God reveal to us through the writing of Acts that happened? The demon, singular, it says spirit, not spirits, plural, one. That's huge. The spirit said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. And now a little bit hillbilly. Liberty, who do you think you are? Who are you? I don't know you. You have no power over me. And then it goes on to say in 15 and 16 that the same evil spirit mastered them, overpowered them, and then those seven sons, one evil spirit, those seven sons left naked and wounded. Forget the shame of nakedness. They ran because they were wounded. And this is the only time that a single evil spirit overpowered seven people, and that an evil spirit was able to talk back. Here's a question that haunts. Are we mimicking the majesty and the divinity and the holiness of Jesus in our lives? Or are we really having a relationship of God the Holy Spirit filling us as believers in our lives? Ouch. Tough. Tough. Point three is this. Acts 19, 17 through 20. Acts 19, 17 through 20. Conviction, confession, and transformation. Read through that and you're going to see what happened. When the people around saw the move of God throughout the people around them, they started picking up their books. They started picking up their trinkets. They started picking up all that would distract them from this new lifestyle that Paul was preaching, and demons were being cast out of, and then a mimicker got their carcass kicked. I know that's hillbilly, but maybe you can take it. And what did they do? Oh, those poor little people, I feel sorry for. No. They brought their books, everything that had their identity, everything that told them and taught them how to worship somebody other than Jesus, and they burned them there. There is a huge symbolism historically, culturally in that. Not only did they bring them, they brought them publicly. Not only did they dump them, they did not try to save them. And then they burned them so that there could be nothing but ashes at best that was left. A full, complete, total separation from all that was. Because of God the Holy Spirit showing, I'm bigger, I'm better, I'm badder, I'm tougher, I'm more powerful, I'm me. Than even the past, even the prestige, even the position, even the hordes of hell, and all who would say, I ought to be in charge of this. So the seven sons of Sceva were an example to say, you're not in charge, I am. And what happens when you get out of the way and you let me have my way? In a word, revival. Revival. And from that, people started coming and filling the church of Ephesus. Look next to you. Who do you see that's not here? Look in front of you. How many people see an empty seat in front of them? Search your mind, your heart. Who do you know? Who do you know that you can be praying for and you can be telling people of Jesus? Because the identity is not in what we do, folks. The identity is not in the job that we fulfill. The identity is the Holy Spirit that infills. And from that, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is the one that outpours from us. That, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, that is the identity we can have. Look, if you would, the Word of God continued, Acts 19:20. The Word of God continued to increase and prevail mightily. There's some words there I want to look at. Kratos. The Word of God was still growing and increasing with great might and great strength. The Word of God, in short, was being the Word of God. And in the lives of the church of Ephesus, it was having great might among them and great strength in them. But also look at the next word is issuing. The Word of God was prevailing. In other words, it didn't just start, it kept on going. Kept on going. Not only having great power and great might, but continuing in great strength. It is not only for the now, but it is for the here from now, from this point forward. Why is it we have to struggle to see the church of God be the church of God? There's a lot of times we can't be at everything, and I get that. I'm not on that. That's okay. I understand that. But when we're at nothing, I'm not trying to bust your chops, folks. I'm not. What I am trying to say is this. Is there such a passion for Jesus, such an infilling of the Holy Spirit, that we are heartbroken when we can't be there and do that which builds the church of Jesus? Ouch. Paul didn't have to go, but he was called. Paul didn't have to speak, but he was inspired. Paul didn't have to tell, but he had a story of his own in his life that he had to relay because of the Holy Spirit prompting. Both of these words speak to a first work and a second work of grace. And the last one especially, issuing, it is ongoing. It is ongoing. And we dwell in the ongoing and continuing great strength, ongoing and continuing great strength that we deepen in Jesus and great power in us, for us, with us, and then through us. Do we know here? Can we point to a time here when we have said, not I, but Christ? Because I fear that we can get lackadaisical, and I fear that we can get accepting of good enough. And that's fearful for the church. Point four is this. Acts 19:21-41. Acts 19:21-41. With great power, with great prevailing, with great move of God, and with great transformation came indescribable opposition. Let me just share something with you, folks. When you're trying to do what God wants you to do, Satan ain't going to like it. When you're trying to be who God wants you to be, Satan is going to oppose it. When you're trying to become, as a church, what God has dreamt for you to become and us to become, Satan is going to unleash on it and on us. But I still stand on the promise of God, of Jesus, as spoken to Peter. I will build my church, and the gates of hell itself cannot, will not, shall not prevail against you, Champion Church. People were brought into the New Testament church called the Way. Lives were being transformed. The church was growing. The cultural icons of Ephesus were threatened. Idolatry was threatened. Silver made with hands into a goddess of Artemis was being abandoned for the gospel. Cultural sins were being decried, and then they had to rise up. Of course, that's not like today. We don't have any cultural sins in our... Yeah, we do. But I say this, we would not have the cultural sins if we had transformation from sin in people's lives. And that's the great mystery, but also the great calling and the great availability in us, with us, for us, from us, through us, and to others. The silversmiths formed this idol that was their income and their influence on people, and publicly opposed Paul in the New Testament church, even where the church and the gospel was being preached. Isn't that special? Riot and upheaval resulted. The crowd was overwhelmed by the upheaval and confusion. And you know what? The Bible says many of them didn't even know why they were there, but we're going to be a part of it. We don't know what we're a part of, but we're going to be a part of it. Paul wanted to go into the fray and try to cool it down, but people said, no, your life is going to be in danger. And they had already dragged Gaius and Aristarchus. And the Bible says they were very roughly dragged into the theater where the occurrence took place. The theater, did you get that? The theater. The big open area was also used multiple times for people to be killed for Jesus. And yet God's people were trying to be Jesus in the place of sin. Some of those things, some of those there said one thing, some took another side, and nobody knew what was really going on. And finally, a town clerk stepped up. What was the town clerk? He was the executive officer of the civic assembly. He represented the civic government, and he also represented the civic government to the Roman government. In essence, the mayor of the town, as far as what we would make the transition in our culture of what that would mean. Nowhere has he said he was a believer in Christ. He was not a part of the Ephesus church. He was used by God, though, to spare the church even further damage. Let me share this with you. God sometimes uses non-believers to bring some of the greatest breakthroughs for the church. That's why we build relationships through the week with the church and with others that are not in the church. And that's why we build relationships, and we are called to relationship building so that we can be discipleship making through the week by you and I, the church. The riot was stopped, the church was spared, and lives were saved. When we follow the Spirit of God and experience the move of God, we will encounter lives transformed, exponentially explosive multiplying of the church. If you remember back again, they were bringing their books, they were joining the church, they were forsaking their evil. And we will face opposition to God, the church, us. Yet and still, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Are we living in, speaking to, and experiencing God among us? Not just the few that are here comparatively, but from us, the many that are there in our mission field, in this town, in this county, in this area, in the grocery stores we shop, the gas stations we buy gas, in the businesses we visit, the people we connect with. Have we come to the point in our church that we are more concerned with God's Holy Spirit being what we are about, who we are experiencing, and that we are telling about than we are about the risk of what it'll cost us? Or, I'm going to dare to say it, holding on to our position, our power, the thing I do here. You see, when I'm all about him, I'll help wash dishes. I don't have to be the head honcho. Don comes in about every Sunday morning and vacuums. It was done already this week. Thank you, ladies, that did it. He doesn't have to be the big hot shot downstairs meeting everybody. He can come in and just simply run a vacuum. And aren't we glad that he lives the life of I don't have to be first. Who is it that we are telling of Jesus? Are we being the church? We're like the same church, the church of Ephesus. Have we lost our first love? Revelation 2, 3 through 5a. I know you are enduring patiently. You are bearing up in my name's sake. You have not grown weary. Pretty good stuff, isn't it? Not really, when you study the true meaning. Verse 5, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love that you had at first. 5a, remember from where you were fallen. Repent and do the works as you did at first. Are you enduring? Are you stuck in the now? Are you content with the present? Are you at the point of not being like what you once were? Are you just enduring? Or are you forgetting the past and straining toward what's ahead? Are you bearing up for my name's sake under the load and staying in the burden of being under the load rather than forgetting being load-centered and becoming love-centered? Grown weary? You still have strength. You still have power. You still have message. And you still have the purpose that I have for you. I think we do. This church has tremendous things going on in it. It's the best church that I have ever pastored. You people are incredibly loving. You folks are incredibly accepting. And yet Jesus says to me and to you, we can do so much more than we've ever had done before in 2024. And beyond. And beyond. Not just pay off the debt. That's money. We'll get there. But win people to Jesus. That's the big one. Remember what you did, who you were, how you were, what you accomplished before, now. This is in 90 AD, 30 years later. Despite all that had happened 30 years later, this church has had incredible history. And then it's come through some incredibly tough times. And then through some wonderful healing. So here's what I'm going to challenge us to do. Here's what I'm going to challenge us to do. Don't dwell, but go forward. In the power, the presence, the purity, the miracle, the touch of God's Holy Spirit in us, on us, through us, with us. There's a verse and there's a typo with it. It's John chapter 21, 15, not John 20, 15. And here's a question. Peter, do you love me more than these? More than where you're at? More than where you've been? More than what you've experienced in the past, more than what you particularly personally do. Do you love me more than these? If you look a little further in that same verse, then feed my lambs, my little ones, my young ones. Not just age-wise, though that's included in that, but also those who don't know Jesus or those who have just barely come to Jesus. Later, tend my sheep, oversee them, disciple them. And then later in verse 17, Lord, you know I love you, then feed my sheep. When I asked the ushers to come, they have. I want each person, not each family, each person, to take two pieces of paper It's the same thing. If you want to put your name on the bottom, that's fine. If you don't, that's very good. I believe that. That's fine. But I'm going to ask you each to take two pieces and do the same thing on each one. People you are praying for, two people you're praying for, and then one. By God's grace, you will commit. Just give one to, give two to everybody if you would, guys, please. Thank you. I appreciate your service. One person that by God's grace you're going to share Jesus with throughout this year, that by God's grace they will come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Maybe not through you directly, but you will share Jesus because His Holy Spirit is the one that does it. Are we getting it? Do you understand what I'm saying? We are now to the point where as this church, we can now say, we go forward. We go forward. I shared with you from Philippians, but also I shared with you quite a while back, and ever since then throughout, in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. I am doing a new thing. Do you not see it? I am making a way in the desert. Streams in the desert. Rivers. I want to do something new. And God will always have a church and a congregation and a body of believers that will be His church. I'm going to ask you, after we're done, I'm going to ask the ushers to come take one of those up with you, from you. And the second one, I'm going to ask you to do this. Put it in your Bible. Put it in your book. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your mirror. So that each day, as you get up, as you get going, as you do whatever you do in the times that you do it, you pray for those two people. And you covenant with God that you want to tell that person and connect with that person so that it opens the door with that person that you can share Jesus with them. Tonight I will be doing it with my friend Daryl. He was one of the best men. I was the best man at our wedding, but I mean, he was one of the men in the groom's court. He grew up in a parsonage. He went to a university, Nazarene College, Nazarene University. Then he got away, started working, and he got away from God. And I am going to be praying for him even more, and I keep sharing with him, but I want him to come back to Jesus before it's too late. There are people I'm praying for. I don't know when they're going to come to Jesus, but I do know that they will. But I'm going to encourage you to do this. Two papers, same stuff. Keep one, and when the ushers come back here in a couple minutes, put those one of those copies of papers in that, and that will become my new prayer focus for you through the week, so that you know you are prayed for as you endeavor by God's grace and covenant with Him, not with me, not with Him, with Him, not with me. One more time, test question. With Him, not with me. To be faithful. To connect. To share. To be the light. Be the salt that if you went to Sunday school, you heard about. But also be the voice in the wilderness of dissonance, dismay, difficulty for Jesus. Ushers, will you come back and grab those from me in an offering plate, and we'll just put them down here. And then I want them covered so the confidentiality is maintained. Would you help me with that, please, guys? start at the back and work forward, and then you can just put them here. That way you don't have to make the trip a whole bunch of times. I'm trying to help you with your leg work. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Strong, power, whole armor. Stand. Stand firm. Stand strong. Stand holy. Does this really apply to me? Yeah, there's a song that is written. Sung it once or twice, not the one of the others that I sing, but it's called Available. I'm ordained. And it goes something like this. I am ordained to speak the name of Jesus. I am ordained to tell the story of the cross. I am ordained to tell the wondrous story. I am ordained to tell how much it cost. I am ordained. Would you stand with me and sing that with me? And as standing and singing, standing is one thing, but singing with me is just a testimony that, yeah, no, I'm not ordained by the church, but I am ordained by Jesus. And this is a new commitment back to him to be the voice of standing firm, standing strong, standing holy, being faithful. I am ordained to speak the name of Jesus. I am ordained to tell the story of the cross. I am ordained to tell this wondrous story. I am ordained to tell how much it cost. I am ordained. Jesus, we are here. Let us not go out of here doubting that you have ordained us to tell the wondrous story, the wondrous message. Let us not go out of here to only become like the church of Ephesus 30 years later, losing the first love. Let us not go out of here without knowing it is you we serve. It's not a job we do. It's not a task we fulfill. It is you we serve. And you put us in places that are tough. Sometimes we can't explain it. You do it and through those times, you allow it, and through those times, you let us be ordained tell the story, the message, the cost of Calvary to win people to Jesus. May we today, as we go back to our homes, bring our box of that which would symbolize anything that would distract us. our affections, our habits, our addictions, our emotions, our hurts. Anything that reminds us or takes us or leads us away from you, and lay it before you and walk away. And then, Lord, may you burn it with the holy fire in our hearts to never go back again. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. We hope you were inspired by this week's message. We'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 3924 High Street Northwest in Warren, Ohio. You can also join us on Facebook Live. For more information about our ministries, or if you'd like to contribute to our ministries online, visit us at championnaz.org.